As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I want to be a part of it. Michael Jordan, stay calm.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, April 13th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And of course, last but not least, making the magic happen, running this three-man weaver here, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We see you guys. Drop your dorts. Hit and smash that like button. Comment away. Defeat the algorithm and subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe. Hey, speaking of subscribers, congratulations to Kenny Beecham, king of the fourth quarter, on hitting 1 million YouTube subscribers. That is an unbelievable number to wrap your head around. We just had Kenny on last week's happy hour, which oddly feels like 8 weeks ago to me now.
Yep.
I'm telling you guys, you take one day off, just one day off. I wasn't here for Monday. You guys did a fantastic job doing the NBA weekend winners and losers, Trey, Tass, and JD. But you just feel so, like, out of touch in a weird way. And I mean, I didn't look at my phone all that much. I was up in the mountains. I tried to actually relax. I wasn't, like, religiously following the NBA over the weekend. And I know WrestleMania was happening, too. I just felt like you get back from a vacation like that, even if it's just one day extra, and you're like, oh, God, what did I miss? Oh, no, what's going on? Who won WrestleMania? I don't even know. What happened in the NBA? I don't even know. But you need a vacation from your vacation, as they always say. But you guys held it down. So thank you so much for that. And yeah, shout out to Kenny, king of the fourth quarter. 1 million. No joke. Nothing but W's for that guy. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast, which is actually, I think, tomorrow.
That's right.
All
right. That's right.
We're already on the beach. So email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in at nodunksinc. I know we need some more still, so have at it. Get your best questions in, NBA-related or not. And Immaculate Items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Okay. We got a lot to talk about. I always say that, but it's true. Two things happening in one game, Trey, and we're going to tackle both of them. And we'll start with the good news. Steph Curry surpassed Wilt Chamberlain as the Golden State Warriors' all-time leading scorer, en route to his ninth 50-point performance of his career on Monday. Well, Curry entered the game with 17,765 points for the Warriors, just 18 behind Wilt, and he erased that deficit pretty quickly. He hit five of his first seven threes and then overtook Wilt Chamberlain on a layup with about, I don't know, less than 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Finished with 53-7-4. And the Warriors got a win. That's very important here, too. They're obviously in this play-in race. But look, just talk about Curry a little bit. Like, how pretty damn impressive it is anytime you're surpassing a Wilt Chamberlain record, you know?
Yeah, exactly right, Skeets. He needed 19 points to pass Wilt. He knew that and said, okay, here's 21 in the first quarter. I'll pass him right away. I'm reminded of a young Trey Kirby and a young J.E. Skeets sharing time in numerous offices throughout the globe, always doing Sporkle quizzes, always saying, you got to guess Wilt Chamberlain for everything, because the numbers this guy put up throughout his career are unbelievable. So yeah, Passing Wilt on a list, especially a scoring list, that is a major achievement from Steph Curry. I thought Nate Jones said it best on Twitter last night. Steph took one of the worst franchises in the league and made it a global powerhouse. Honestly, unbelievable when you think about the Steph Curry story. The We Believe Warriors, 2007, were a huge deal, mostly because of how bad the Warriors had been. They made one playoff appearance from 1994 to 2013. It was that We Believe Warriors appearance. They caught the league by storm back then because they had been such a joke for such a long time. Basically, since Wilt and Rick Barry were around, it was not a storied franchise. And when you think about it, Steph even wasn't a sure thing. We read in Ethan Sherwood Strauss's book that he was nearly traded for Chris Paul, I believe. The deal with the Bucks that brought Andrew Bogut to the Warriors. Milwaukee had their choice between Monte Ellis and Steph Curry. They chose Monte, and then the fans booed the team because they traded Monte. That's how upset they were to be losing a guy that had been there for a little, had been a part of the We Believe Warriors. A few years later, though, three titles, two MVPs, one unanimous, a legitimately game-changing player, just like Wilt Chamberlain, with some Wilt Chamberlain-style legends, I think. Like, when we really look back on Steph Curry's career, 20 years after it's over, this guy started pulling up from half court. Isn't going to be a lot different than they had to widen the lane because of Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Steph has been honored while he's playing, but I think it's going to be at the end of his career that really we really see the entirety of everything that he achieved, because it's exciting when you're in the midst of it, but when you are able to look back and say, wow, this guy was the first of a new generation of kind of player, it's going to be really wild. And so, yeah, I mean, passing Wilt Chamberlain, it doesn't feel like anybody should ever pass Wilt Chamberlain on any sort of list. So, incredible achievement for Steph. He's good. I think he's gonna have a future here in this league.
I do like, even though we passed Wilt, I like that you still have to, like, make note of, like, it almost took twice as many games. Because Wilt Chamberlain's, scoring it was, like, 45 a game. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. But Wilt played significantly less games for the Warriors to have that all-time points-leading record. And then Curry, with his longevity and his ability to score, of course, surpassing him. It just feels right. I also think I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Because you never know what happens at the end of a career. Like, is it that far-fetched that at the end of Curry's career, he goes to Charlotte, he goes home to that state, or he goes somewhere else, because it does happen. But if you were a betting man, Trey, does it not feel like Steph Curry will be one of the rare players, especially in today's game, that would stay with one franchise? Like, would you bet on that? Or would you say, no, Skeets, you're just caught in the moment right now. Like you just said, crazy things happen at the end. You know, Patrick Ewing's a Knick for life, and suddenly he's playing, you know, on the Sonics and Magic. It weird things happen like that. But my gut just says he'll be there for his entire career. Or maybe I'm hoping that.
I assume the same, Skeets. You're right. The only feasible case you can really make is that maybe someday he would go play for the Charlotte Hornets. I can see that being the case just because of, you know, the family history there and growing up around there, going to school around there. Maybe that would be the case, but I'm with you. You know, there were rumors of Tim Duncan leaving the Spurs once upon a time. That never happened. There were rumors of Kobe Bryant leaving the Lakers once upon a time. Yeah. That never happened. Dirk Nowitzki with the Mavericks. That never happened. Steph feels like he's in that realm to me. And, you know, you hear the same from Steve Kerr, who has compared him to Tim Duncan throughout his career, the little man version of Tim Duncan. Maybe he's the guy who stays there, wins a bunch of championships, still guides the team through the more fallow years when you're not necessarily a title contender, but you're still a playoff team and you're still trying to get back. And then who knows what they're able to add in the future to give Steph Curry a second breath at the tail end of his prime, just like Tim Duncan got from Manu stepping into his own, Kawhi Leonard becoming a player. There's still ways that, you know, the Warriors aren't a great team right now, but if you have Steph Curry for the rest of his career, there are people who are going to want to at least take a chance in that. Obviously, Curry's going to be the kind of player that can have an impact towards the end of his career. He's still going to be one of the best shooters in the league, even if he's 45 years old. So I hope he's a Warrior for life. He's Mr. Warrior is what Reggie Miller was calling him. So I don't know. I mean, I saw Michael Jordan leave the Bulls. It happens to the greats. I don't feel like it's going to happen with Steph Curry, though. I'm with you.
Yeah, but then again, I saw someone in the chat say, well, Tony Parker ended up playing for another team. And I know, like, Tony Parker is not on Curry's level, but of course, yeah, his tie to the Spurs franchise and all the championships, and you're like, yeah, you would have never thought that would have happened either. And there he is, you know, just trying to get some more burn and help a young team and, you know, sees a paycheck. So maybe a little bit more in some instances. I think Curry will be a Warrior for life. Oh, final thing on Curry. I wish Lele was here because you know he loves talking about this. I saw Anthony Slater of The Athletic was asked sort of like, or tried to like wrap his head around when Curry will catch Ray Allen's NBA record for made threes. Because Curry goes off in this game here with the 53. Passing Wilt, that's the headline. But, you know, another 10 of 18 from distance. And he's now the oldest player, Steph Curry, the oldest player in NBA history to notch 3 50-point games in a single season. That's a wild one. I was like, how old is Curry? I mean, he's 33. He's not that old. I'm going to get a guy here, especially the way he plays. He could play another 10 years. But Anthony Slater says, Steph ended the night 254 made threes from Ray Allen. 19 games left this season. So he chops that down to what? Maybe under 200 makes before opening night next season. Presuming he stays healthy, and I know Lee has crunched the numbers too, you can expect Steph to pass Ray probably around the All-Star break of next season. And that to me, like, I like this Wilt one. I get it. We talked about him being possibly a Warrior for life. It's awesome. The made threes list, of course he's going to get it, and it's just a matter of time. But that will be the one I think that will be, like, really, really celebrated for all the reasons that you said, Trey. Like, he was a game changer. He, like Wilt, in a completely different way, just changed the style of basketball for his era. So, you know, again, knock on wood that there's no injury to him, stuff like that. But maybe around the All-Star break, Curry will be eclipsing Ray Allen, and then it will just be a matter of time before the magical 3,000, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah, Mr. 3,000, just like Bernie Mac. I love it.
That's right.
But yeah, it's going to be cool. At the end of his career, when Steph Curry retires, he should and likely will hold every three-point record, which is a fitting achievement for him to be the best three-point shooter ever, to have the record books say the same. And surely once we actually see the enormity of the numbers, it's going to look hilarious how just how far ahead Steph Curry is on all of these. It's exciting times. It was a fun game last night, you know, 48 through three quarters. So everybody's thinking, all right, here we go. The Warriors bench has been struggling. They're going to blow this lead. But they actually played pretty well. They kept the lead for quite some time unfortunately, we didn't get Curry back right away. He ended up with 53. It felt like he could have gone for 70 on a night like last night, but an enjoyable affair for the Warriors. Steph Curry, he's good.
Let's get to the bad news from the Nuggets-Warriors game. Jamal Murray suffered an apparent knee injury during the final minute. That's the real blow of the game versus the Warriors, about 50 seconds to go. Kitchener's finest there. Drives in, Nuggets are trailing, he's trying to get a bucket to have any hope of them pulling out this victory. Routine layup, if we're being honest here, he plants his left leg and it buckles beneath him. He fell to the court, he was down for a while, but he's a tough SOB. Get your wheelchairs out of here, I'm limping off of this floor. And now, as of right now here, of course, on a Tuesday morning, just waiting to see what the MRI results are. Though, look, you watched it, Trey. We're not doctors here. Well, you sort of were. You were almost a doctor, I guess. You're close enough. But it doesn't look good.
What the medical schools thought, Skeets.
Well,
they said close enough is not close enough, actually.
Really?
Okay. I don't know why.
You're the doctor of the No Dunks team, I'll tell you that. And this was depressing. I woke up to this news. I wasn't watching this part live. And man, it sucked. Like, it's the first, you know, the first thing I do, like I'm sure 99% of you out there, you grab your phone that's sitting there on your night table. We shouldn't do that, by the way. We should keep our phone in another room completely. But it's the first thing I see on Twitter, probably because all I do is talk about Jamal Murray, Kitchener's finest, and like the Twitter algorithm knows that anything Jamal Murray related, I'm going to want to see, but not this. And doesn't look good. And he had just missed a couple games here prior with a knee injury, soreness. It was his other knee, but, you know, of course, is there a correlation there? Because you're unfortunately putting more weight or more stress on the other knee because you have a bad knee, whatever. This sucks. And look, we don't know. Hopefully it's just like a bruise of some sort, and he's out a couple weeks. Again, this kid is tough, but the worst case scenario is like this is a torn one of the CLs is what it's looking like. But what do you think?
I mean, a non-contact injury, and you could tell that Murray was in pain. I was watching it live, and it was just like, I mean, they had to basically, they turned off the game audio and just let the commentators talk because he was right underneath the basket, clearly, you know, screaming in pain and having to deal with whatever injury it is. Did not look good. We will see what comes from the MRI, hoping for the best, but, I mean, those kind of injuries can linger for a year. And it's going to be a really tough thing for the Nuggets to overcome because Murray has such a unique game. He can blend in, but obviously he can stand out. There's a lot of things that the Nuggets are going to have to cover for him now that he's likely going to be missing quite a bit of time here. The ball handling, I think it's going to be on Monte Morris and Will Barton. You know, scoring, shooting, playmaking for others. They're both shooting the ball pretty well this season. I think Morris is a little bit more of a point guard. Barton's a little bit more of a slasher. The scoring, picking up Jamal Murray's scoring, that's got to be Michael Porter Jr. Nice game last night. 24 points, 11 of 21. Just 1 of 7 from 3, but he's been in a zone recently. You know, he's going to be ready to take more shots. And when it comes playoff time, assuming no Jamal Murray, it's all on Nikola Jokic, which sounds reductive, but it's true. We've been talking for a while now about how Murray is made to step it off in the playoffs. He's got the skill set and he's got the confidence that really unleashes him when there's less concern for kind of the team play and building chemistry. And when it's all about just focusing on getting that win that night, Murray is awesome. He can really take his game to the next level. Jokic obviously is a proven playoff performer as well. He's been at a high level the entire season. The Nuggets are just going to need him to get to another one in the postseason. We've seen the past couple of games, the Nuggets seem to have been getting flustered, and that's just something that's not going to be able to happen if the Nuggets are still going to make a run here in the postseason. Can't be taken out of the game by bad calls from referees or things just not going your way, because if you got no Nikola Jokic on the floor, if he's not playing to his full capacity, without Murray, the Nuggets are not the team that we've seen for the entire season.
Without Jamal Murray, you know, near 100%, the Nuggets are not winning the championship, and you could talk me into them winning it if he's there and he's Bubble Murray, which he was. I saw our boy Dan Devine, you know, tweeting last night. You look at the per 36 numbers, what he was doing, Jamal Murray, in the bubble to what Murray was doing over the last 2 months, because he had a slow, slow start to the season. But to the last 2 months, in terms of his scoring and playmaking and rebounding and the efficiency, they were damn near identical. So Jamal Murray had picked it up here over the last little bit. This is a very difficult loss. Again, we're hoping for the best. Maybe he's back. Maybe it is just a bone bruise. It doesn't look like it is. This could be like a year-out type of injury, a nine-month to a year-out type of injury, and this would suck. Suck, suck, suck. Also, blows for Team Canada, who, you know, Jamal Murray was poised to be a meaningful contributor to Team Canada's Olympic pursuit. Team Canada's not in the Olympics. There's going to be a tournament still to win that tournament you're in, type of thing, to try and go to Tokyo in 2021 here or later on. And he had talked about wanting to play. You know, he's always saying, like, anytime you play for your country, it's like just a different type of honor than even playing on a team or in the league. So it sounded like he was really invested in continuing with Team Canada there. He said that back in December. I don't think things would have changed all that much. So that sucks for Team Canada's chances too. I mean, they weren't even a lock with him to win that tournament, to win their way over there to Tokyo. So yeah, we'll wait to hear. I mean, I'm holding out hope that it's not that bad, but oh, it did not look good. Mm-mm. Prayers up for Jamal Murray. Kitchener's finest. Everybody knows that. Other notable games, Trey. I'll throw a couple at you. I won't get to them all. Tass talked about some of them on What You Need to Know. Tass went on this hilarious... went on a hilarious tangent of comparing NSYNC members to the Utah Jazz players. And
that was
really
good.
Well done. So, yeah. So, again, out of left field, but that's Tassy for you, especially we get crazy and zany as we hit the home stretch here. Go check out What You Need to Know with Tass's hilarious comparisons there. But the games I'll throw at you. Valanciunas leading a late burst as the Grizzlies beat the Bulls 101-90. Julius Randle, little revenge game, leading the Knicks over the Lakers. They're back over 500. And then another one I'll throw at you, Ingram and Zion helping the Pelicans hold off the Kings 117-110. From those three games or anything else on happening in the association last night, what do you want to make note of?
Our Bulls are struggling, Skeets. They just cannot beat the good teams. They take a lead into the fourth. They lose the lead in the fourth. Endless loop time. Last night's stats that are bugging me: 89 combined minutes for Patrick Williams, Thomas Satoransky, Lauri Markkanen, and Kobe White. 10 combined points. That ain't gonna cut it. Zach LaVine has been battling an ankle injury. He hasn't been quite the same player since the All-Star break. Still good, but he was great during the first half of the season. The Bulls don't have the margin for error to overcome. LaVine having an okay game, and the rest of the theoretical offensive support players having a really bad game because they also don't have defense. As my dad texted me this morning, defense is a foreign language. They don't guard anybody. They got to be able to outscore them. So if you're getting 10 points combined from four rotation players, not gonna make it.
But that's enough about the Bulls. Here's what I want to ask you, Skeets. Yeah. Are the Pelicans going to make the play-in tournament here? They're healthier than the Warriors. They've been up and down all season, but they've been playing 500 basketball for basically 2 months. They're trying to chase down Steph Curry. But if Golden State needs a 40-point performance every night, then I do think New Orleans at least has a chance to make a run at that number 10 seed.
Man, that's tough. Because there's other teams that are still in the mix, too. It's not like the Warriors and Pelicans both can't get in to the play-in tournament. There is enough time. Like, the Spurs are obviously in the mix there, and they just continue to win games, even though everybody forgets about them. It'd be pretty ironic, actually, in a weird way that, you know, last year we were all joking when they brought the play-in tournament to the bubble. Everyone was like, well, we know why they're doing that. The NBA wants to get Zion Williamson in some sort of, like, play-in game, like a little mini March Madness there down in Disney World. And then, you know, he didn't look good. The Pelicans definitely didn't look good, and they came up short, and everyone was like, well, so much for that. But then here they are with the possibility of actually getting in here, and it could all work out, because that would be, of course, must-see TV. The way he's playing, you guys have talked about it. Point Zion, for sure. They're really leaning into it. Van Gundy's pointing it out. Put me down for the Pelicans getting in there. Hmm. I don't know who's going to fall out, but the Kings are done. All right, it's over. They're just like, I know they're probably still technically in play, whatever it is, four back, something. They're done. Don't worry about them. Every time I get excited, they shit the bed. So, bye, Kings. But yeah, I mean, oh man, will the Spurs or Warriors fall out of there? Well, like, because the Grizzlies, to me, feel like a lock. I love the way they're playing. Valanciunas is a monster still. Yep. John Morant, I know you guys had a bunch of, like, Dunk of the Year candidates over the weekend, like, on guys, some huge ones. That Bridges one was next level, I think, actually better than the Anthony Edwards dunk. But John Morant's dunk on nobody last night, that's one of the best dunks of the year. My God, you had a screen grab tray of John Morant's head, like, looking down the rim on the crazy oop from Allen. So I got the Grizzlies in there. I got the Spurs. Because Spurs, like, you want to say they won't be in there, but they'll be in there.
They'll be in there.
Yeah, they will be. So, yeah, coming down, like, what we're saying here is, like, it's Warriors or Pelicans, right? And you make a great case. I mean, unless Curry can do the 45 to 50 every night, which, by the way, he probably can, and they might have to. If they really lean into it, we're going to have some fun Curry games here over the next couple weeks. But I'd say the Pelicans overall are playing better. So, yeah. Put me down for the Pelicans.
Wow.
Yes.
Pelicans over Warriors. I mean, yep. That would be a surprise, but I don't know. They got to get good performances. The Warriors do from Curry every single night. I've actually thought Draymond was pretty solid last night, and hopefully that could be a key for the Warriors if he's able to generate some sort of offensive production, running that screen and roll. If the Warriors are committed to doing a high pick and roll with Steph and Draymond, that really increases their chances of making it here. But I've been impressed with the Pelicans. They are just so up and down. It feels like you don't totally know exactly what you're going to get, except for 25 points from Zion and another 20 from Brandon Ingram. They figure out the rest from there. They've been doing pretty well, though, for a couple of months at this season. So, I don't know. They seem to be trending upwards, whereas the Warriors are kind of just trying to tread water.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people in the stream team here, like Finn pointing out, wow, the Spurs have the second most difficult remaining schedule. And then, you know, here's Colin saying the Grizzlies are playing too many good teams this month. Guys, none of this matters. None of that matters. I just saw a stat like the Wizards have like an unbelievable record against like the top teams in the league and are basically 500 against the bottom teams in the league. Look, it matters, of course, who you're playing. It's going to be an easier game in some situations. But this is the NBA, especially in the West. All these teams are playing each other, I'd assume, a lot more times. It's like the Spurs got to play the Suns three more times over this final stretch here. You'd think like, oh, well, they're going to go 0-3. No, they're not. They won't. Because it's just these teams are all really, really good. It's, of course, the scheduling, too. Are they on a back-to-back? Well, how late are they getting in? All that comes into play. Then, of course, there's the added layer of injuries. I just don't put that much stock into sort of any of that. So that's why that question that you're asking is like, it's damn near impossible to answer. It's like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, totally. I mean, it's like the Grizzlies are better than the Bulls. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But they play again on Friday. And it's really hard to beat the same team a couple of times playing that close together. So I don't know. It's hard to lock in any victories, it feels like, for any of these teams, especially with the games coming so fast and furious. And you never know who's going to pick up an injury that makes you miss a week of time, which is a lot of games at this point. I think the Nuggets, I think they played like 6 games in 9 nights, something crazy like that. Some of these schedules are jammed up to where if somebody, you know, sprains an ankle, misses a week, that can have an impact and could honestly decide the playoff race. It's going to be exciting, though. Play-in tournament's looking good.
Yeah.
Keeping me interested in these 10th seeds, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's doing its job. I'll tell you one thing we can lock in. We're hitting 50 wedgies, and we're setting the all-time record for wedge. I mean, it's they come in bunches. We always tell you that. And we had two more last night, both on the nationally televised games. So this one, the deep wedgie from Curry there. I love it. That was number 38. Nice close-up, guys. Nobody talking about it on the broadcast, but nice close-up by the cameraman there, a woman. And then... Ooh, the little softy one in the Warriors game. Ooh, slow motion replay.
Slow it down for me.
And that's number 39. So, had a couple there. We had one, I guess, on the weekend that I was gone. You guys slipped into Monday show. So there it is, wedgietracker.com. 39 on pace for 57. And we would be, you know, killing the all-time record in a shortened season, by the way. You know, 10 less games going on here. With this 72-game season, but I'm loving it. Man, we're going to, like, will it just continue? You just get, like, 4 or 5 in a hurry. And then, it slows down for a couple days, and then they're in a hurry again. So this is great news. Wiggins with number 39, if I didn't say that. So, yeah, Trey, this is a lock, right? We're not even jinxing it, I don't think.
I hope not. I was getting a little nervous yesterday. We showed the clip from the wedgie, and the pace was only on pace for 54. But, you know, it's getting close to 50, but then you have two in a single night back up to 57. Feeling good, that Heinz 57 sauce. I'm loving it. Steph Curry goes for 53. Seth Curry wedges one in. Kismet right there.
Yeah.
But also, that Wiggins wedgie, that one was a surprising one to me because that, like you're saying, that was a gentle, soft shot to actually have enough force to stick in there in the back of the rim. Surprising to me.
Yes. Greg, it's a long show, man. Just slow down.
Yeah, Greg,
enjoy
we got
the
you,
ride.
Greg. We got
Greg,
you,
we're
Greg.
We're like 25 minutes into this podcast. You know we're going another 30 or so. We'll get to Joel Embiid as he's messaging, where's the love? We'll get to Joel Embiid. Just relax, Greg. We're trying to enjoy some wedgies, and you're killing my wedgie buzz, man. God. Yes, people are asking, can we get some wedgie merch? Good idea. We're working on it right now. But go to nodunks.com. Just keep refreshing nodunks.com until it pops up.
No Dunks thongs on the way.
Oh, right
there
up
we
the
go.
Butt
just
crack.
In time for summer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, we will get to Joel Embiid. We're going to get into the up-down report. But first, we got to take a break, Greg. I'm sorry, Greg.
Sorry,
Greg. We got to hear from our sponsors, man. We got to pay the bills here. So what do you got, TK?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Before we get into the up-down report, we actually have some breaking news here from Shams at The Athletic. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Brooklyn Nets have rescheduled their game to be played this afternoon. So that game was canceled last night. If you don't know, on Sunday, a police officer in the Twin Cities region shot and killed a 20-year-old black man named Dante Wright during a traffic stop. So on Sunday night, there were protesters that filled the streets of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, I believe it was, and nearby Minneapolis. And then on Monday, last night, the Timberwolves and then the other pro sports teams in Minneapolis, the Wild and the Twins, they postponed their games. The Nets had the Wolves in town the Nets were in town to face the Wolves, and that got postponed. So that one is happening here today. Very quickly, like, turnaround there, Trey. I think they definitely made the right decision to postpone all these games last night in this area. It's, you know, it's sickening that this continues to happen. But I also saw, when it comes to the schedule, maybe why this is being played here so quickly. I think it was Hollinger at The Athletic saying, like, he had done, like, the numbers, or at least looking at the calendar, and it's like, they were not going to be able to avoid a back-to-back-to-back for one of those teams because everything is so compressed. So except having played it today. I guess that's the only, like, workaround. So that's where we're going to get that game. I guess it's going to be some afternoon basketball there.
Yeah, limited opportunities to make up the game, so they're getting it in quickly. Greg Popovich honestly nailed it. The first two lines out of his mouth, speaking on Dante Wright. It just makes you sick to your stomach. How many times does it have to happen? The police need to stop killing young black men. There's no other way around it. We need less guns in this country as well. I don't know. It feels hard to me to reform something where an officer is saying he meant to grab his taser and grabbed a gun. You should know the difference between the two of them. Shameful stuff. Once again, just another sad day in America and a sad day for the league, obviously, in Minnesota as well.
Let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Let's make Greg happy here. Because before we get to, like, the headline after this game between the Sixers and Mavs, it was Joel Embiid playing some bully ball, Trey. 36 points. No Kristaps Porzingis for the Mavs. And he just overpowered them. 113-95. Again, before we get to the Luka comments about the play-in tournament, actually, in the up-down report, we make Greg a happy man. What did you see from Joel Embiid last night there?
Well, Joel Embiid is a very good basketball player, is something that I took away from this one. Allow me to pull up the stats, because I'm going to be honest with you, Skeets. Knowing that there was going to be no Kristaps Porzingis for this game took a little bit of the shine away for me, because Porzingis has been playing pretty well for the Mavericks. Yeah. His growth this season, his recovery from injury and getting, you know, healthier out there, getting more in rhythm, has really helped take the Mavericks to the next level. And if they don't have him as a second guy, if they don't have him as somebody who can at least be in the middle occasionally, they were going to be up against it. And that's exactly what happened. 36 for Embiid last night. Another 15 free throws. There's no way to keep this guy off the line, it seems, because he's very hard to guard to begin with. He's huge to begin with, so he's able to get where he wants to. And he's got a variety of fakes and flails and head pops and things that are just going to, you know, draw contact here and there. And then he actually knocks down the free throws, too, which is really impressive for a big guy. 14 of 15 last night. Had he not missed so many games, he would still be very high in the MVP conversation. No doubt about it. Sixers are still going to be a tough team come playoff time, especially if Embiid is able to step back, or if Embiid is coming back as he has and is playing at the level he was before. It looks like, despite the fact that he did miss a bunch of time, he doesn't really look rusty. He's playing some incredible basketball right now. So what he brings to the Sixers is an incredible defense. That's locked in right there. And then he also puts so much pressure on the rim that when you're talking about teams who might theoretically be able to knock off the Nets come playoff time, those are two things that are going to be massive. There's not an answer for Joel Embiid on the Brooklyn Nets inside. Obviously, Embiid is one of the elite centers in the league, and that's a place that that the Nets haven't really devoted a lot of their resources to. They're surviving with buyout guys and Jeff Green and a second-round pick in Nick Claxton, so advantage Sixers there. And then who knows what they're able to get out of their defense. If they're able to limit Harden, Durant, and Kyrie, at least make it tough on them. You know, those guys, if you can limit them to 60 to 70 points rather than 80 to 90, maybe you've got a chance. I'm not ruling out the Sixers for a deep postseason run.
Yeah, the Sixers are my only hope of saving me $100. Let's be honest here. When they have their starting lineup, when they have what they want out there, they're damn near unbeatable so far in the regular season. So I think it could be one hell of a series if the Sixers match up with the Nets, and where that happens. I think that's an underrated little race we still have left. I know all the attention is on, like, to get into the 6th seed, to then get into the 10th seed, to get into the play-in tournament, all that. Like, those are fun to watch. And even, like, home court advantage is there as well. But, like, that race to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, Trey, is really important if you think about it. Like, you probably then don't have to play two of the other elite teams, right? Like, let them take out one another. Let them, you know, defeat one another. And you get that one seed, like, let's say it's the Sixers. Well, then you're probably only going to have to play either the Bucks or the Nets in a conference finals type situation. And I know anything can happen. I know the Heat maybe spoil the party, stuff like that, spoil the fun. But, like, that's big. That's something to watch. And it's still, like, a nice little race there. Bucks are trying to hold on in that one, but Yeah, that's fun. Sixers, though, got to save me $100. They got to play this elite. Joel Embiid's got to be this monster.
He's got the money already.
Playoffs. I know. He does have my money already. Tasked with the bet saying the Nets were going to the finals after they made their move for Harden. I said, oh, hold on. What about chemistry, man? You don't usually get it done in the first year. They don't even need chemistry. They don't play together ever. They just have one or two of them out there and then continue to kick ass. But Sixers, man, yeah, they're obviously a really, really good team. And I think should make it a bit of their game plan here to try and go get that number one seed to help their chances of only having to take on one of those teams. That's my personal opinion on it, and we'll see if they do it.
100%. Like, the home court advantage is almost gravy at that point. The only having to play one of the other three best teams is huge because, no doubt, these three teams have separated themselves. Like you're saying, it really feels like the Sixers are your best chance, but the Bucks have a chance as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, it would be a surprise. You know, it would be a surprise on par with the Heat last year, going to the conference finals, really picking their game up and just figuring everything out at the exact right time. But yeah, I mean, the 2-3 seeds, that's going to be a nice series in the Eastern Conference. Unfortunately for those two teams, they're going to be meeting around earlier than they would be hoping.
Yeah. All right. So there you go, Greg.
That one's for you, Greg.
After the game, Luka Doncic, made some headlines here with something he said. He was very critical of the NBA's play-in tournament concept. He said, quote, "I don't understand the idea of a play-in." This happened after the Mavs lost, of course, third defeat in four games. You play 72 games to get into the playoffs. Then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. So the up or down question for everybody in the stream team right now, everybody watching, listening later, let's see those thumbs down in the comment section. Are you up or down, Trey, on Luka being critical here of the NBA's play-in tournament concept?
I'm down. The 7 and 8 seeds in the West guaranteed to hate the play-in tournament. It's hard enough to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, and now you kind of got to do it twice. But I don't remember Luka saying anything about it last season when it wasn't really a possibility that the Mavericks were going to be in the play-in tournament. But to me, this really just shows the league messed up calling it the play-in tournament. Call it the playoffs, and it's an accomplishment because, like I just mentioned a little bit ago, this is keeping fans of bad teams involved. It's exciting to see a playoff race between Zion Williamson and Steph Curry. It's exciting for me as a Bulls fan to see a team that hasn't been in the playoffs try to make it into the playoffs. I'm living and dying, hoping they get the 10th seed, which is something that I would have never done before. I'm usually dipping out on a team that's 9 games under 500 this deep into the season. And I think it's good for the league, too. We've got stars trying to make the playoffs in both conferences. They're both on under, all these stars are on under 500 teams, but you're tuned in for it because they're actually playing for something here. Luka's biased, right? He doesn't want to have a solid season with the Mavericks. You know, they're playing basketball really well. They are 5 games under 500. They would be challenging for a home court advantage seed, a top 4 seed, if they were in the Eastern Conference. But unfortunately for Luka, he's in the West. So yeah, if you're in the 7th or 8th seed in the Western Conference, I would be mad too. But all the other teams, I think, are loving it.
Yeah, slip of the tongue there. You meant Mavs are over, 5 games over 500 there, 29-24. Maybe this is like his real issue with it. First off, you're right. This is totally predictable. Was always going to be the case. Whoever was in the 7th seed is going to be like,
sure.
What do you mean? We're usually always in the playoffs at this point. Now we got to like actually sort of still win our way in. But I will say, in the bubble, even, when we first implemented this, there was the whole, like, you gotta be within so many games to even trigger the play-in game. And stepping back from it, I can understand why that makes some sense. Like, it doesn't, I don't know, fair, is that the right word for it? Who cares, maybe? It's the rules, and they're the rules, and everybody knew them when you started the season. If the Mavs really didn't like it, they could have said, we're not playing the entire season until you get rid of these or something. But maybe if you're so far ahead of those teams that are chasing you, still in that sort of little mini play-in game, that then you don't need to play it and you're already locked. So there's like that idea of trying to build that cushion. I can see like it is sort of crazy in a weird way that you could be like the 7th seed in one conference, 10, 11 games up, right? And then over in the other conference, you're a game up and you're both still having to actually get your way in. That's got to be a real kick to the balls. I get it. But, maybe they can tweak it a little bit. Or maybe not. We want to see more playoffs anyway. And you're right. Maybe calling it the play-in tournament was the whole problem with this. And it's got them all worked up.
I don't know. There's a 3.5 game gap from the Mavericks at 7 to the Warriors at number 10. So
it's close. It's very close. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And it's similar in the Eastern Conference. Remember last year they invited the Wizards just so that they could like have more Eastern Conference teams there hanging out. 5.5 games right now separate the Bulls at number 10 and the Celtics at number 7. So, yeah, there's obviously the huge gap there, but I don't know. It is exciting. I think that there are more eyeballs on these teams, and I feel like there are less teams coming into this season that were intentionally trying to be bad. As we've talked about, it's kind of like it's been the Thunder. You know, they didn't really have a plan to be a great team this season, as we've seen over the course of time. They've played some of their big-name players less to try and get a little bit better pick come summertime. I don't know. I think it's good for the league. I think it brings in the eyeballs for these teams that are right on the cusp of the play-in tournament. Obviously, people are going to be excited when it's the actual play-in tournament. And it's keeping a team like the Wizards involved enough that they're like, we're not going to completely throw away the season at this point. We're going to try and at least make a run here. Who knows what's going to happen with the Raptors? It feels like there's a little bit less tanking and a little bit more eyeballs on the mediocre team. So I think it's working the right way, personally.
Yes, and some people in the stream team pointing about, let's ask Luka again if the Mavs fall to 9th or 10th.
Sure.
We'll just get his take then, maybe, on the play-in tournament. Hey, look, maybe he's a man of principle. Maybe he's like, nope, we're not playing.
I'm a purist.
Yes, we didn't make it. We're the 9th seed. We will not be showing up to that game because we did not technically, in my opinion, make it to the playoffs. Now, that would be impressive. If he holds strong with his stance, kudos to him. But something tells me he would maybe change his tune a little bit. Right now, they're in the 7th seed, and he's just frustrated. Like, hey, we've had a great season. Now we just still got to win one more game to get in. Like, why did we play 72? You know, when you step back and look at it like that, you're like, yeah, that's a fair point. But for all the other reasons we just talked about, it's making the game, making the league at least more entertaining, I think, overall. Our next one, guys, let's see the thumbs. It's going to be a quick question because you can just start showing it right now, JD. Up or down on Kyle Kuzma's fit from last night? Now, I believe these are mirrors, or he has holes through his body, which is really trippy. Mirrors like plastered on this jacket. It's pretty bulky looking there. Trey, you get us started up or down on Kuzma's very, very interesting fit here.
Mirrors. Those are mirrors. I mean, that makes a lot more sense. I was like, are these Kleenex boxes that are sewn into his jacket? Oh. That would be very weird, but I think mirrors makes a lot more sense. They seem to be reflecting, I don't know, like you look on his hip, maybe that's a window that it's reflecting. Ultimately, I'm going down on this. He looks a little bit like a character from the movie Wild Wild West, starring Will Smith and Kenneth Branagh. That's like a sci-fi movie set in the 1800s. So, you know, they have like a big mechanical spider and everything's like very steampunky. I'm generally a fan of Kuzma's fits. He is willing to take a risk. He was recently wearing a pair of jeans that looked like they had 100 condoms sewn into the hem. I was like, very Lisa Left Eye Lopez look from him. That one I liked. This one is not my favorite.
Yeah. In a weird way, you got to respect his originality. I'll give him that. But I am down, because you just can't convince me that this is comfortable at all. There's just like, it looks heavy. It's boxy.
It's boxy.
I mean, it's just like, there's no way. They are, I believe, mirrors, well, that means there's obviously, they're not generally light and they're very rigid. I am baffled by this one, but people are having some hilarious comments here. He's looking like a portal, basically. He looks like the final boss of a video game.
Somebody said he looks like the like Operation, the board game where you have to reach in and like take out the little bones. It's kind of perfect. Hey, let me grab that humerus real quick, Kyle Kuzma.
JD, do you want to jump in here? Bring your opinion to this Kyle Kuzma fit. What'd you think of this? Yeah.
Well, I'm down. it's ridiculous. Especially as somebody who I would be, if I was here, I would probably be shooting this guy with my camera and not wanting to get in the jacket. You know, I don't want to see myself in the jacket because I'm taking a picture of him. You know what I mean?
Like, good point.
So, although I don't see anybody in the reflection right now, so that's cool. But yeah, no. Also, what if you fall down?
Yeah, that's what somebody just said. My man trips and he dies. Like, glass shards everywhere.
It's like seven times at least four, eight. So it's like 100 years bad luck or something.
Yeah, there's a multiple people saying, you know, it does have that video game vibe where, this is Irwin saying, where you have to break all the circles that's in him to take down his health to ultimately beat him. For sure. You're going to like want the Contra like spray gun on that one. Try and hit as many of the mirrors on him at once. But then again, maybe not the strongest weapon. So you're really going to focus on one. Are they on his back too?
Those mirrors? Question.
You would think so, right?
All I know is that if this was Jimmy Butler, he would not have them on his back because he has no rear view mirrors.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, our final one in the up-down report. I think they're a little better than Kuzma's jacket. I actually was surprised you guys didn't bring this up on yesterday's show because I remember you had shared it in the Slack channel, but you guys had a lot to get to on yesterday's show. So we'll slip it in here now. It was announced a couple days ago, right? The WNBA jerseys. I was going to say they were leaked, but I mean, it was they were shared across social media. It wasn't much of a leak. Here they are. We're showing to them now on our YouTube show. And there's a couple like variations, of course, for some of the teams. We've got them all on sort of one screen here. And there are other ones as well. JD's flipping over. Oh, my God. They get a little more creative here. Maybe a little more a little more zany here with this variation. But Trey, overall, I mean, we don't have to go through every single one. But overall, up or down on the new WNBA jerseys for the 25th season?
Oh, majorly up. I think they did a great job with basically all of these. It's hard to choose just one. That looks the best. We shouted out the Sky jerseys on Happy Hour last Thursday.
Right.
I've seen some people comparing the pinstripes on the Sky jerseys to the Chicago Bulls, which is understandable. They're both basketball teams, but those are Chicago Cubs pinstripes. They're light blue. Mm. Tremendous stuff. Also going to give a shout out to the Atlanta Dream set. I really like the rainbow trim on their Rebel series. Mm-hmm. They've got a Jimmy John sponsor. Freaky fast, freaky good. Works for basketball. And they've got an Arby's sponsor on one. There's an Atlanta jersey with an Arby's sponsor. Their headquarters is in Sandy Springs, Georgia. They were founded in Boardman, Ohio. Clearly, Arby's knows about basketball. They are a local company. Bequeath the meats.
Yes. All right.
Come on, Arby's.
That Indiana Fever one that we have up right now on the far left, I mean... Yeah, Stranger Things vibes. Everybody's going to want the number 11 on that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a must cop. That would be a great Coachella jersey in 2044, whatever, in the future. But JD, what do you think of these bad boys as you're sharing? Most people generally thumbs up on these, I'd say.
Yeah, I love them. What's the top right? The green one with the... Is that... What is that?
That's maybe like the Dallas Wings, I think that might be.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, those are cool. Yeah, these are great. As somebody said as well, these are rival the... I'd love to see these in the NBA. I mean, they're awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. Trey, you were concerned, I remember. You want to cop some of these, but you're concerned about the fit for you. Did you do any, like, investigating? Is there male versions that you can buy of these WNBA jerseys? Are they all sort of unisex jerseys? Because you were worried about one of, like, the collars on you.
The Sky collar has like an extra dip to it, dissimilar to like, you know, the Lakers have the wishbone collar, an unusual collar. It sticks out. But I think the general consensus is size up one size if you're looking to buy this and you're a man. But I don't know. These are really good. And it's something interesting to me to see the reactions of these, because these are all like completely fresh new jerseys. There's not a lot of rehashes of old WNBA jerseys. This is for like a 25-year anniversary. You see like the Liberty jersey, I think that it, or maybe the Equality jersey is a Hornet or a Charlotte jersey. Nonetheless, what I'm saying is that these are all new jerseys. These are not just remaking an old jerseys, and people love them. You don't have to put out the same retro unis or the same retro-inspired uniforms every single time you come out with a new uniform.
Right.
In the NBA, a lot of times it feels like if the uniform doesn't look similar to one that people used to love, fans are going to hate it right away. But as we're seeing with the reception to these completely fresh, completely new WNBA jerseys. You just got to embrace the new, people. Take a chance here. Look at that Phoenix Mercury one, orange to purple. If somebody in the NBA did that, if the Suns did that, people would say, that's ridiculous. But this is getting a great reception, basically all around the internet.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the one that maybe people like the least of all these WNBA jerseys, maybe, is the Minnesota one that we're seeing right now, because it's just like a classic, you know, Timberwolves jersey. Right. Now, I actually like it because I love the color of that, and it, you know, it's the nostalgia factor and all that. But I think I'm agreeing with your point, Trey, that it's like most of them, not all of them, are like, wow, brand new. Wow, that's a different design. Mm-hmm. That's quite unique. Whereas that one, maybe some people are like, eh, seen it before, you know?
Sure. So,
you know, not all original, which I think is interesting. But I actually like, I think I like nearly all of these.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
I guess you could nitpick that is some where you're like, okay, yeah, there's not much going on that one. That's fine. Like that Las Vegas one right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then the Aces one where it's going down, the text that down the, what's the word I'm looking for? Vertically, I guess.
Yeah.
I like it. So yeah, most people are high on these. So kudos to the WNBA for knocking some of these out of the park. And like, you can really do some deep dives on these too, like the meaning and all that. Some of you guys are like huge like Unithread geeks out there, where you like want to know like, oh, why do they do that, or what's the detail on that? Have at it, because there's a lot in some of these. Even if at first glance they look like somewhat basic, you can go in on it. So kudos to the WNBA knocking this out of the park. Most of you were thumbs up on that one. All right, we still have Tweet of the Night, which actually also has sort of a logo vibe to it. Mm-hmm. A little callback to something we did last week. But before we get to that.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Okay, Tweet of the Night is actually Tweet of the Morning, for getting specific here, because good friend and fan of the show, I'm Stefan Vasilev on Twitter. He tweeted this morning off of Skeet's rant last week. That's what it was, a rant? It was more of a segment. I give to you the Northern Basketball Association, or what if we do to the NBA what the NBA did to the Raptors and shove them in obscure foreign cities, following Skeet's deep research inspired by City Color. So yes, on the drop last week, we ended that podcast with me being upset that the Raptors were in Tampa Bay, that we're like, look, we're putting all the American teams in Canadian cities next season and only make it fair. And I went through every single team and I placed them and I gave you guys weird facts and we had a blast doing it, I think. So look at this, Stefan Vasilev, literally making all the logos for all the teams I suggested, all the Canadian teams, the U.S. U.S. NBA teams in Canadian cities, and some of these are pretty damn good.
These
like,
are really,
some
yeah.
of the colorways are like, damn, they should try that out. Maybe, maybe not move the city up into the Canadian. Move the American team to the Canadian city. I can never get that wrapped around my head, right? But I love the Medicine Hat Mavericks up in the top
yeah,
right.
It's so good.
That is one of my favorites. So great stuff from Stefan Vasilev. He started working on this like while we were doing the Drop podcast. He was tweeting me.
Awesome.
I was so happy because I was like, I know somebody's going to do this, and it's probably going to be him. So that's why I really leaned into that bit. It wasn't a rant. It was a bit. And here we are having some cool colorways, and obviously it looks just funny with some of the team names. Like, I think some people would buy some of these. You know, like
I was just going to say.
Bootleg shirts if you want. Yeah.
Oh, Pickering Pelicans all the way. That looks awesome.
Yeah, Trey, do you have a favorite besides maybe the Medicine Hat Mavericks from the bunch here?
I actually like the look of the Maple Ridge Grizzlies. I don't know why that one is sticking out to me. A green bear? I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Looks great. Maple Ridge also sounds like a delightful kind of place.
So let's hear your favorites in the stream team and the YouTube comments. Again, excellent work here from Stefan. This is awesome. And there are a couple, that I would illegally slap on a shirt and wear around because some of them just look. I love the Mississauga Timberwolves one too. At the, I don't know, that one just sort of cool with that old Wolves Howling logo. I don't know if Mississauga is known for having wolves wandering around, but who knows? Great stuff, Stefan. Tweet of the morning. Yeah, coming through here on a Tuesday morning. Okay. Pick'em results from last night. I sent in my pick to you guys. That didn't do me any favors. I still got the L. So did, Lee, by way of JD, because we had Dallas to cover against the Sixers, who were favored by 3.5, but Tass and Trey got it right. Trey's leading the way still. I'm in dead last, falling, still 2 games back from Lee there in second last place. So tonight's game, Celtics Blazers. Celtics, the Barry Celtics, favored over the Port Moody Trailblazers by 1.5 points. Who do you like, Trey?
I'm going for the Celtics here. Had a nice win over the Nuggets in their last game out. This is also 3 games in 4 nights for the Trailblazers. A little bit better rest for Boston, so give me the Beantown Boys.
Mm. All right, I will go next, and I don't know why I'm just purposely swerving now, and it's gone horribly, but give me the Blazers at home. Come on, Portland. I'll get them to cover here. It's a small line, so it's basically a pick 'em. JD, you're picking for Lee. Where are you going?
I will never pick against Portland. They're my second team, mostly because of our man, Lamar. So, I'm taking Portland.
All right. So, hey, maybe we get a... Well, Cantor could give us a big beef. We could get a wedgie, and maybe we'll come through with a Blazers pick. All right, let's find out who Tass is taking.
I like Portland in this one to bounce back after being embarrassed by the Miami Heat. As far as the Celtics go, they've hurt me too many times. I can't believe in them quite yet, even though they've won 5 of 6. Give me the Blazers.
Wow, 3 of us taking Portland with the +1.5. Trey, the only one taking the Beantown Boys. Mm. Oh, man, Tass is so right. When it comes to this pick'em, sometimes like there's a team or two that you're just like, you can never pick the game correctly. And then anytime they come back up in a new one, you're like, you're fearful of the pick. Because you don't know where to go, because you can't figure them out, because you can never actually call the games they were in prior correctly. So I think Tass is a little worried there with Boston, so he's going Portland. Good luck to everybody. That's it for today's show. Thanks for joining us live.
Quick piece of breaking news, Skeets. I don't know if you're seeing this on the stream team. Shams is reporting a torn ACL for Jamal Murray. Torn ACL in his left knee.
Can't say I'm surprised, but that sucks. So Jamal Murray is going to be out for the rest of the season. Man, that is going to do a number on the Nuggets' chances to go very, very deep in the playoffs. But we talked about it off the top. All these other guys are going to have to step up. And that sucks. Okay. And of course, as I said, it sucks for Team Canada's chances of potentially playing over in Tokyo for the Olympics in 2021. Because apparently they're still doing that. I think they have the Olympic torch running around with like no spectators, which makes for a weird sight. All right, sorry to hear that, but again, not all that surprising. We'll see if Morris and Campazzo and Dozier and like you said, in scoring department, Michael Porter Jr., all these guys. Will Barton, of course, are going to have to step their games up to go deep into the playoffs. Oh, what a bummer way to end this show. But thank you for the breaking news, everybody on the stream team. Email us your NBA questions for tomorrow's Beach Step and podcast. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And if you haven't subscribed to The Athletic already, you're going to want to, because you're going to want to know the latest and the latest breaking news from guys like Shams and stuff like that, and all the columns that these guys and women pump out over there at The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you to get your very, very cheap subscription to The Athletic. It's well worth it, guys. It's unbelievable. All right. Well, I'm sad now. We'll be back tomorrow, though, tasked with what you need to know. Trey, JD, and I here with The Daily Show. And then we're stepping on the beach later in the afternoon. So we will see you tomorrow. Everybody stay safe. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, one man's rant is another man's segment.
Embrace the day, people.